And now our feature presentation.
Hello. This is the feature presentation podcast, number 2. Why aren't you guys talking?
Are we supposed to talk?
You were talking. I didn't
know. Yeah, we were waiting for your introduction. You seemed excited. Like you had it under control.
I always have everything under control, don't I? Not last night. I didn't have anything under control.
No, you needed a diaper change.
Because I watched the worst fucking movie ever. I'm Dave.
I'm D. Illen.
I'm Jeff. Okay. Who's D. Illen? Who is this guy?
Yo,
I've never
dog,
seen him.
I'm D. Illen, son.
Okay.
Wow.
I'm gangster now.
Great.
My street Gun cred level style. Is high enough that I can do that. In Russia, Gangnam don't style Gangnams.
Oh my god. I've had like 5 minutes of Yakov Smirnoff.
That's what happens when you take forever to set up. Should be ready to go when we come. No pun.
Okay,
well,
so what did
we had a headphone problem, so
we certainly did.
Well, anyway, what did we see? What was that?
We
movie
saw
called?
The Act of Killing.
The Act of Killing.
A yeah,
fantastic documentary. Little documentary.
Jeff and Dylan liked it. I thought it was a big hunk of shit.
Well, let's
I actually looked at my phone to see what time it was. Twice during the movie, when the credits came on, I said aloud, "Thank God."
It's sad. A sad man has no concept for high art.
The only time I've ever seen Wolverine. That at a theater was I went and saw fucking Eraserhead at a midnight showing at the Uptown.
Really?
And as soon as it ended, this guy went, "Finally!" and jumped out of the seat and ran out of the theater. It's
wow.
Like an hour and 10 minutes.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing. With Eraserhead, you should already know what you're getting in store.
Yes, exactly. You're not getting. Wow. You're not really getting a film. You're getting an art project.
Right.
That's about.
Here's my question. Who you texting there?
I'm looking up who directed The Act of Killing. Oh, it was executive produced by Werner Herzog, but I don't know.
Right.
Herzog and Errol Morris, too.
It was some guy named Josh something.
Errol Morris nice. Was also.
You got to grow a full beard because we got full beards here. Sometime.
This is going to be the beard podcast.
Yeah.
It's getting a little cooler. I might try to grow one. I mean, I shouldn't say try. They get itchy. No, I can't. I'll play tennis 3 days a week in the morning. With my clients. With my clients.
That's the most embarrassing thing I've ever heard anyone say.
I'll play tennis. Hey,
it's my job. I get paid to do
that. Here's my question. Are you going to run a marathon?
No, I'm absolutely 100% unathletic. It's my clients. I do it with them. They play tennis and I play tennis with them.
He's going to be like, "Hey, I'm training for a marathon." And we'll be like, "A what? A marathon. A what? A marathon."
Okay. The director's name is Joshua Oppenheimer, and the co-director's name is Anonymous.
Wow.
Yeah.
So
I think,
apparently, everyone is as excited about this movie as us.
Well, here's the backstory. Now, I mean, you saw the movie, so they were, you know, it was kind of this give and take with the government. Like, we're really excited about this movie, but maybe we're too excited, and we should.
They refused
show it.
To show it in Indonesia.
Yeah, they've been denied.
I'm not surprised they did. Okay, no. We should explain what this movie's about.
Yeah.
Pieces, shit, wastes of life, rapists.
No, we're explaining what the movie's about, not personal opinion.
Well, that one dude is.
Well, I mean, he's right technically. Yeah. They were pieces. Well,
no, they were. Yeah, I complain. No,
but
see,
they were rapists. Yes.
But that's the attitude you should have. I'm telling Dave all the way home. I'm like, Dave, this is what the movie's supposed to make you feel like. That's the point of the
that's
movie.
That's why I had to watch something else last night.
Okay, he had to purify his corroded mind.
The movie took these people in Indonesia who it was in the late 60s, right?
65, yeah.
They were gangsters who worked alongside the
Can you look up the definition
the
of gangster? Because I don't think the
free men.
Definition of gangster is free men.
The men in the
that
film
was their definition of gangster, I
well,
think.
You tell what the movie's about while I look up gangster.
Okay
so the movie, basically history lesson here, and this will tie into my conspiracy beliefs for all of you who are
oh,
excited.
Oh, goody. Just conspiracy stuff.
Oh, shit.
But it'll be just a quick note.
Is
but
this, gonna...
this was something that was briefly noted in the movie, but I immediately keyed in on it, and it does play a big part in the movie. But anyway, so the government was established, and what I believe is there was a communist threat. So there's a communist threat to the government.
They believe there was a communist
threat.
They
believe there was a communist threat, yeah.
It was heavy-handed that there was probably not a communist threat, that they were just telling people they were communists and then murdering
them. Yes, yes. And most of them were just Chinese. So it was like, if you're Chinese, you're communist, and you get murdered. So anyways, these gangsters went out. So the government hired gangsters.
They were movie gangsters. These guys basically scalped tickets outside
yep,
of a movie
yep,
theater.
Outside of movie theaters for a living.
They were afraid that the new communist films, the non-American films, were coming in, and they couldn't make as much money selling tickets to these movies.
Well, something happened where they banned them. Didn't
yeah, they banned them.
Where they banned American films, and that's what triggered this thing. So it was all over the fact that they couldn't see American films. So it started a genocide that started in 1965 and went through 1966, 1 year, and 2.5 million... quote-unquote,
68.
Oh, 68, okay, yeah, you're right. 2.5 million communists were
He's making quote signs with his
quote signs with the fingers. Yeah, we're slaughtered.
Yeah.
And most of them by these gangsters. And the main character, the main guy, what was his name? I can't remember.
Anwar Congo.
Anwar Congo. He personally said he killed at least 1,000, if not more, if not close to 2,000, personally.
This was on all levels of the country. I mean, had the military who was in power who wanted this to happen. You had these gangsters, these free men, quote unquote, who were allowed to do whatever they wanted because they were helping. And then the government could say, we're not the one killing these people. It's these gangsters who are doing it.
Well, and then the media and the press was bad. I mean, they would interview these guys, and then they would the publisher, was it
the publisher of this newspaper
personally admitted, he's like, I would take what they said and make it sound way worse to make it. And then I would give a wink, and then they'd go off and kill them.
They were using the media to get
propaganda,
these gangsters to kill people and then have the people, the rest of the people be in.
Raise your hand if those guys in the red, orange, and black,
the
blah,
military,
blah, blah,
the paramilitary
youth,
group,
did not, to you, scream of Nazis.
Oh, big time.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. I was just
But that's any dictatorship, basically. That's like...
You had the guy who was in charge of all of them out golfing. He's like, I liked it better when we were in charge, when the military was in charge of everything.
Too much democracy.
Hey.
Your pussy has a mole on it. I can tell by the way you look.
That was his girl who chased after his balls, some young girl.
His caddy.
Yeah, his caddy.
And then he, later on he said, cute girl, she shouldn't dye her hair. It makes her look like a whore.
Here's the definition of gangster.
Oh, here we go.
A member of a gang of criminals, especially a racketeer.
Which is what they were.
Yes. They were not free men.
No.
In the movie, they constantly said gangster meant free men.
And they would have big gangster conferences with them in the military where they were like these pep fests, these rallies free men, and they would promote what they had done and what they were doing.
You don't forget about the spot where they basically went to the people who they said they thought were still the communists, so they don't kill them now. They just extort money from them.
Yeah, extort money from them.
Well,
yeah.
We should finish explaining what the movie's about. So it's these men who killed a bunch of quote-unquote communists in the 60s.
They
had these guys tell their own story.
Yep.
And what they did was...
And film it.
Yes, they
make
were allowed...
movies.
They were allowed to make their own
kind of
History
reenact.
Channel reenactment of what they did.
Really but bad they, version.
Well,
it was just
here was
so
the,
awful.
Here was
why
the thing that
they
was
were,
interesting about it.
Why the fuck did they have all the like makeup like they had been beaten when... They were the ones...
Well, this is what I thought was interesting. I think it showed just how delusional they were.
Yeah.
A lot of what they talked about, especially in the beginning, was how what they did was right, how the country needed them to protect the people. And so clearly in their minds, they have told themselves one thing. And I think what they were showing was projecting exactly the fantasy world that they live in.
Yeah.
And it was, especially at the beginning, that Anwar Congo, when he... Maybe it was a translation thing, but when he talked, he would never say he killed people. He would always say they died or he helped them die.
That's right,
So clearly there's some sort of block in his mind that he was like, I didn't do anything wrong. These people, they had to die. They wanted to die. I was just there to aid them in the process.
Yeah, yeah.
But as we come to find out as the movie goes on, he's clearly tortured by what he did. He was maybe the only one of any of these gangsters who felt bad about what he did. They kept talking about the nightmares throughout. And then in the reenactment, a big scene in it was one of his nightmares where the ghost is like, you know, you must pay for what you did.
Yes. And yet at the end, they had the people that they quote unquote killed thank them to sending them
with
to
that
heaven.
Music video where they're in the waterfall taking peace. So they had the two guys take the wires off their necks and come to him and say, thank you for sending me to heaven. And then he gives him a medal. He takes a medal and he puts it around Anwar's neck in the video.
They have them standing at a waterfall where they're all dressed. He's like dressed as a monk type character.
Yeah, like a monk. Like
and the other guy was dressed like a fucking
a woman, dude. That guy loved dressing like a woman.
That Herman fellow was awesome.
Like, I know. What was his deal, dude?
But as the movie goes on, you start to get more and more of an insight into how much this affected that Anwar Congo fellow.
Yep.
And they show near the end, there's the scene where they reenact them raping and pillaging a whole village with the military group.
Oh, I loved how the dude was like, no, we shouldn't show this. It shows us too violent. And then he's like, no.
It shows our rage. Violent. It shows our anger.
And you know what I really hated is how they were like, people said the communists were cruel. We were crueler. And it was like, Who fucking cares?
But maybe we don't want to show this. But we do. It's our
rage. Like that one dude.
You guys
that
are back and
like
forth on different guys right here.
That dude. No. The dude who came on the plane and he said, hey, I've been trying to call you and you never returned my phone.
Let's try and stay on track a little bit here. It's jumping. Like for us, it makes sense. For anyone listening, we're jumping all over the place. So the part we're talking about with the village, before they film the reenactment of them raping and pillaging, they have a guy who's a political official. I can't remember.
I think he's high up in the government.
Yeah.
Almost like vice president or something. He was way up in the government.
He's an important individual. And he comes and he gives this speech, basically like being a director to all these military guys.
But weren't they filming it like it was the real thing?
Yeah.
We're going to kill them, cut their heads off,
but
burn them.
Here's the thing. Yeah, this whole scene is meant to be like, okay, we're going to rile you up. Like, you're going to really kill these people, but he's kind of doing it as a director as well. Like, this whole movie
and as an
like,
actor.
Yeah, this whole movie's kind of like behind the scenes while filming at the same
time. It's
kind of hard to tell when they're making their quote unquote movie for these guys and when it's just the documentary part.
Yep.
But this guy's giving his rousing speech like, everyone, you know, what you need to do here is, kill the communists when we start rolling and get real fired up about this. And so he.
And they did. They got real fired up.
So most of these guys are screaming. They start lighting torches.
Blood, kill, rip, the cut their heads off.
And so they do this for about a minute or so. And then the guy's like, cut. The government official.
Yeah.
And then he's like, okay, you know, that was very good, everyone. And then he looks to the real director of the film, the Joshua fella, and he goes, we don't want people thinking this is how we really are. We're not these crazy, violent people.
Right.
We just get rid of the communists.
And then the other guy's like, but we were that way. We did do that.
And then, like, within less than 30 seconds, he went from...
It was a different interview, though, but it could have been a few minutes, but it wasn't very long.
He went from, we don't want to portray ourselves in this bad light, right? And then within, like... Let's say five minutes.
This is the same speech. He's saying to the director, we don't want people to think this about us. We're not this way. We're just merely getting rid of this communist threat. And he goes, but we also want everyone to see us this vicious. So keep this in the film because it'll be very important and good to our image if they see us as threatening like this.
Yeah, so they won't invade us. Like, they won't attack us. Yeah, it was just schizophrenic.
It was weird double speak.
Bipolar. Hey,
yeah, he's like, no, we want to show our rage. We want to show our anger. But I think it was a thing where they knew it was wrong, but at the same time, they were proud of what they did.
For sure.
So it was like this, they're bipolar in their mind. So they've already accepted the fact that it's right, but when they reenact it, they're thinking, wait a minute, this doesn't look real good. This maybe isn't so good. But then they're like, wait a minute, no, but this is. So it's like they're back and forth the whole film.
And this is something we see a lot in the film, is they talk about, like, especially the guy who you started to talk about for a minute, who came on the plane. His whole thing was the image. He was talking about, they were filming a scene and he kept saying, what does this do for our image? Do we want to do this? Right now, everyone believes that what we did was kill communists for a good reason. But in reality, we just killed people because we're awful people. And it felt like he had a sense of morality when you hear a lot of what he was saying.
Until the end of the movie.
Well, that's just it. He was going on. He kept saying to them, do we want people to see this? Do they need to know this truth about us? Right now, they believe that we were doing the right thing. And if they see this, they're not going to think the same way about us.
Yeah.
Now we're going to have to answer to some of what we did. And you start to go, oh, this is the only guy who gets it. And then they show him shopping at this beautiful mall with his family. And he's like, I killed all those people and I don't feel bad about it. They could take me to The Hague and I wouldn't feel bad for
I want to get the attention. I'd be like a rock star. He's like, yes. Bring me to The Hague.
He
bring
was
me
proud
and give me the attention.
Of everything he did.
Yeah, it was just.
it was a good turnaround. You're like, this is the one voice of morality in this whole film.
No.
And then how about the one dude after they got done, like, the whole village
torch
scene?
The village.
Yes,
he's like,
back to the village.
He's like, I would.
Well,
if this
talk,
were
let's
real.
Talk about the village scene. So they filmed this whole raping and pillaging. And
that
you know
actually
it,
happened more than once,
right.
probably.
And you know it's
villages.
Fake. I mean, they did a great job of filming it and making it feel like they were really filming.
And the kids
right.
were traumatized after they were crying and
they
crying
got,
and crying.
And whose fucking like, houses did they burn down?
They got village people
sets.
From
were they sets?
The local area. They had family members of these gangsters and military guys help reenact this scene.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it was
but they would have
all
had
friends
to build
and family.
Those.
But I think they had a pretty good budget for this movie.
I don't know.
So good enough. I think there was film, there was costumes, there was a lot of, and you know, probably these gangsters had tons of money because they're all obviously loaded. They probably built it themselves. I think
part
they,
of that extortion scene that they showed was them getting
them
money,
getting
for,
money
the film.
For the film. Yeah, mm-hmm.
probably. But the one dude is like, so I would have really raped them, and if there were 14-year-old girls there, I'd rape them too. I'm just like,
no, he did. He said
he did.
He
said that was
he's
his
like,
favorite part of
favorite
the whole
part.
Scene yeah. was raping
he's
14-year-old
like,
girls.
He's
for
like,
real.
I would rape them, and he's like, for me, I tell them, for you, this will be hell, but for me, this will be heaven.
And so,
right, yeah, I was just like,
they show
oh
this,
my God.
They have this whole scene. They have these people reenact it, and they do such a realistic
yeah.
job of doing this that they show the after effect and everyone's crying. There's like old women in shock. There's
one of them blacked out.
Yeah, there's I mean like children are just freaking out and they show the Anwar Congo guy who's standing in the middle of it and all of a sudden, you know, this whole movie he's proud of everything
proud.
He did. He's joking around about all the people
dancing.
He murdered. Yes, he's singing and dancing. This whole thing has been nothing but a joke. This is the first time we get a glimpse of him seeing just this reenactment of yep. something he did. And he starts crying. He's like, I didn't think it would be this real. Mm-hmm. And I started to get the idea that this whole movie, all these reenactments were to try to get him to face all of the things that yep. he actually did. Now, you're saying that they were glorifying all this, but I think what they were doing, because this guy was clearly tortured by it, but he didn't want to admit it because he wanted to be the rock star. So now they're putting it all in his face and making him express all of what he lives with, and he's starting to realize it.
But I think at the beginning he was tortured. I think he's like I drink a lot.
Oh yeah,
forget.
I mean we would get the hints.
I dance. I'm just
I do
happy.
Drugs,
I do drugs. I smoke pot. I take ecstasy. He's like I do. So he was basically self-deluded, and that's why he was having these nightmares. I'm sure it was his subconscious was
oh,
just
absolutely.
Going crazy. And then the second he'd fall asleep, yeah, all of it would come just pouring out.
Yeah,
you know what I thought was the only part of the movie that I really liked. Well, there was one. Shot in the movie that I actually liked mm-hmm. and I can't even it stands out more than anything. It's like a guy walking down a street and it's like a really gray building area mm-hmm. and kind of at night
street.
It was just a scene right but other than that
that was it.
The only other part that I liked was when he was talking to Joshua saying watching me being killed in this scene.
Yes, here's another at the end of
is,
the movie
is
show.
Where I feel now what they yeah. felt and he's and the director's
he's like I felt terror come
yeah,
over me.
The director's like
you didn't.
No, they no. felt way worse because they knew it was for real. You know it's fake.
They were reenacting a scene yeah. where they were killing a quote-unquote communist for making money in their town and Anwar Congo was in the recreation playing the communist.
Yep.
And they started, you know,
interrogating him, torturing
him, and then they were going to murder him in his favorite style with a wire wrapped around his throat. And while they were doing
he basically had a panic attack. I
yeah,
mean, he lost it.
And so he started crying. He's like, "We can't finish this scene." The end of the movie is him watching this scene, and he starts.
And first
he brings his
grandkids
yeah,
over
like,
to
watch
the scene,
look,
and they're like,
"Grandpa's getting strangled."
And
to death.
And his son's like, "No, this is too violent for them. This is too violent." Like, no, come watch Grandpa get killed. And then they didn't stay long. They were there for like a minute. And they were gone.
You could tell that they both were like, "What the fuck?"
Yep. Oh yeah. And so the kids run off and he sits there and watches it. He starts crying again. And then he tries to take it on himself. Like, this is my redemption. Look at, I lived through this moment. Now I felt everything these people felt.
Oh,
and
God.
Sure enough, the director is told like, no,
you don't
no.
even get that. He's like, no, they felt way
when
worse.
He gets sick going.
So
up there,
yeah, after
yeah.
that, they, they had the last scene in the movie is him.
Well,
going,
tell the place. The place where this. So they would take them. It was across. This,
they would take
this
the communists
across the street. To this like it was like a shoe store now, but at the time it was probably just an empty space, and they would take them upstairs and they would kill them upstairs
in this little white room, just nothing room.
It was like a balcony. It was like a roof.
Yeah. No, wasn't it originally that was
the headquarters?
Their
that was
offices.
Yeah, that
were?
Was where their offices.
Because that one
were.
Dude said, "Oh, was, you guys were smooth. I didn't know you stuff was
that
going
guy
on.
Was totally lying to try and make himself sound good.
Yeah,
it was. I think it was at one of the newspaper places.
Yeah.
So they would take him to this room. They would murder the people in there. So they had the last scene in the movie is Anwar Congo going back to this place by himself. Usually he was with his gang, so they would talk big. They're all joking around about the murders and everything. He goes back to this place by himself, and he walks in there and starts trying to explain what he does, and just starts dry heaving everywhere. I mean, the whole last scene is like 5 minutes of him dry heaving and crying because he's facing what.
Yep.
He did.
Oh, poor baby.
Yep. I'm not saying you should feel sorry.
You know what
for
I was
him?
Hoping? No, this don't. Is what I was hoping. I was hoping he would say, "This is where I killed everybody," and fucking shoot himself in the face. I was just hoping that would have made that movie really
that
good.
Ending.
That would have been fine.
That would have been. Yeah.
He was a
that
piece of shit.
Yeah, that would have redeemed all of the. No, you know who? It would be better if he went and killed rapist guy and the guy who's. Wife and kids were there. I'm just like, how do you put this out there and have your wife and kids and not think that somebody might try to take a shot at your family?
Yep. Do you think there are any parallels between how this government works, or the movie was trying to say there's parallels between how this government works in a, you know, a more obvious way and how our government works with...
Here's where my conspiracy is. Now, this whole thing that happened in the 60s, they just briefly mentioned it, but they said this was funded by the West, mm-hmm. which means us. Because that was the Cold War.
Yeah.
We basically funded that whole thing. The United States, everything that we're talking about here, the United States funded. They kept doing it through Vietnam, through everything else, although those are more wars.
Well, mm-hmm.
Where this was just, and we're still doing it to this day. We're funding rebels in Syria that are doing the same atrocities that I've seen every day mm-hmm. against the Syrian government. That's a piece of shit too, but it doesn't matter. Why are we participating in any of this?
And they bring up Jakarta and Syria in this movie.
Why do we fucking participate in everything? We should
because we're an imperialist nation that we go over and we reap off the resources and we reap off of war. It's a globalist
agenda.
If
we could just mind our own fucking business. It would be so much better.
But see, this is a puppet government. We're run by the bankers, and the bankers profit off war, and they profit off going into countries and taking shit that's not theirs. That is what the United States does. We're the superpower that goes, and we're the military that goes.
And then we rebuild when you go to war against us.
Yeah.
I'm going to start my own country. I'm going to go to war against the United States
and then have them rebuild.
No, they'll just...
This is his own personal thing right here. I have nothing to do with it.
Yes.
But yeah,
they have
the scene in the movie where the Herman fella, the fat guy, he starts trying to run for government because he realizes.
Oh my god!
And they have him
that
practicing his
speech joke.
While he's watching Obama talk. Which,
I'm
sure that was them hinting like, look
yeah,
at what
yep,
we're trying
exactly,
to say about
yeah,
what,
subtly,
what's happening
yep.
here. But the thing I thought was funny about that is he's like, there's way more money in this. Like now I have to go to all these stalls and I only make so much money. But here, if I go to a building, I can say this building's 10 centimeters too big. I can tear it down or you're gonna give me $10,000 right now, and that's 10 buildings per block and I own this whole city. Tell me how much money that's gonna be.
100,000 per 10 yeah one
guy.
Block
here's the thing though,
but he could bribe. So the whole thing with politicians, they go and they would bribe people on the streets, but he didn't have any gifts for
this,
it, so
this
they...
was the thing that was interesting about it, like the bribing of the people. He was going around glad handing like politicians do, and everyone would be like, where's my t-shirt, where's my gift. And then they would show the political rallies that other people would have, and they were explaining every person in that crowd was paid to be there.
Yep.
No one gives a shit about government in that country.
No.
All of them just want a little handout, and they'll be anyone's kiss ass.
Nice.
Yep. Yeah.
I will say that after we were walking over to Chibo, and I said, if anybody whines about the United States to me, I'll go, here, watch this movie.
Go to Indonesia
and fucking... Wine to me now.
Yeah, but that is us because we funded the whole thing. So this is basically.
It's not. It's.
It is. It is us. That was us. The whole movie was U.S. funded. All that murder, the $2.5 million, we funded the whole thing. We bankrolled it. Western funded.
Dave, your taxes paid to murder. I wasn't.
Well, we've been doing it since World War II.
Our taxes
paid
to murder everything.
Yeah.
Doesn't really matter anymore, does it?
Nope. So, what would you give this out of 10?
I gave it an absolute big fat zero. Oh, I hated it. I honestly. Here's the thing, though. No, I went to a movie thinking, you know, I watched.
I told you what it was about.
I watched documentaries.
I told
right?
you what it was about.
I thought it was so badly put together.
I
thought it was badly filmed, except for that one shot that I liked.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought it was kind of.
I don't know. I thought the movies that they filmed were pretty well done.
I don't know.
Let him give his piece.
Okay, yeah, go ahead.
I just thought it was. It didn't entertain me whatsoever. It didn't even interest me, really. I got so bored. I looked at my fucking watch twice. And it was just. I like documentaries that, you know.
Make you feel good.
No, not even
yes,
make me feel
you
good.
You want to feel good.
No.
You want to feel enlightened.
Well, actually, I do feel good after watching The Wild and Wonderful Whites of West Virginia.
Hold on, Tuck. Finish the rest of this movie. This is going to. I have a question. You can talk about that then.
No, I was going to
no,
say.
No, don't
because
talk
that makes
about
me
it
because
then I can.
Okay.
I have it's, something.
He's
you
got
can
some
talk
plan.
About it.
Okay.
Just play the game.
Finish what you're saying.
No, I gave it a zero because I would never watch it again. I wanted my $10 back. I wanted my 2 hours of my life back. And I had to fucking pay for this guy's ticket.
My bank. Someone compromised my bank account. So
right.
Nothing. My whole account is shut
hey,
down.
Hey, you know what I kind of realized? You fucking started a PayPal account at the Hennepin County Library, dude. Didn't you?
Yeah.
Oops.
What a dumbass. Why would you put it on any do anything like that on a public computer?
Man, for someone who's such a conspiracy theorist, you're going to go into some public place like that?
No. But that wasn't because of the library. They said thousands of accounts were. It was something that I think eBay had reported that someone had compromised them. They said they had to do this to thousands of. It wasn't just me. It just wasn't a single event. This was. I called today. They said there was probably 1,000 people who had to have their cards. And they said it's just out of. No, they didn't do anything to my account, but just the fact that they got all this information, they just wiped everything and are sending out all new cards.
Oh, it was just like a
security
fail-safe.
Breach. Fail-safe, right. Yep, it was a fail-safe.
Okay, what would you give it?
You know, okay, here's the thing. They said it was like the best documentary. I don't think it was the best documentary ever,
no.
But I'd give it 7 or 8 out of 10. I thought it was a very... And I agree with your points. I don't think it was filmed well, but I don't think that was the point of it. I think the message spoke a lot louder, and it was really disturbing. And I do think it was a little bit long. I think it could have been edited a little bit.
Very you know? Long. There are some scenes that just went on and on.
Yeah, there was some stuff that was just kind of a little long. I think it could have been tightened up a bit. But overall, I think it was a great film. I would suggest anyone to see it. I think it really shows just human nature and what humanity is capable of and has done for since the beginning of mankind, and still going on today as we speak in the Middle East, still funded by the U.S. government.
I'd give it an 8, 8.5. I really
yeah.
enjoyed it. I do think it was maybe just a tad long. There's yep. some stuff they probably could have cut, but I think
they wanted to build the character.
What
yeah.
what made it so interesting was giving these guys run to film it how they wanted,
yep.
kind of showing what their mindset was and the whole thing, while still giving the information, you know, factually. And I don't think there was a whole lot of bias in the
no,
film.
They, no.
It was clearly presented. They let these people tell their story without being like, look at these murderers.
And seriously, it wasn't until the end when he tried to redeem himself that the director even spoke.
Yeah, exactly.
And crushed it. That was the only time. There was maybe one other time where he
it's
spoke.
Through the whole movie where they trust us to go, wow, this is fucked up.
Yep.
You should not applaud these people. And they make them charismatic. I mean, you want to like them in a lot of ways.
Yeah, you do. You want to laugh with them because they're kind of funny guys, bumbling idiots. But you're like, what am I laughing at?
That's
here?
Just it. I mean, they have these scenes where they're joking around, but they're talking about, like, killing children and shit like that. And you're like, wait, this isn't funny. This is fucked up. This is dark.
Well, you know the thing that really disturbed me was that news show that they went on. When they
yes,
went on that news show.
They're asking. They take them on, like, a Maury. Okay, they take him on to like a Maury type show with this chick, and they
oh yeah,
and,
was,
and they're,
what
they're
the
talking
hell?
To him like murder is the next celebrity.
Yeah,
they're like,
exactly.
Hey, John Wayne Gacy, how many people did you kill? And everyone in the crowd's like, woo.
And it's all the military
well,
guys.
It's
the
all
crowd
the
was
guys.
Loaded. With
okay,
all
and
their
military.
Camouflage
but,
was yeah. was a fluorescent orange camouflage, which I've never seen before in my life. But their camouflage
right.
was fluorescent because
you know there's a lot of fluorescent
orange
in nature.
Orange camo, yeah, oh,
disturbing.
But Yeah, I liked it a lot. I would definitely recommend people seeing it.
I think people need to see it. And I know Dave was very angry, but that's the reaction you should have with this movie. You should have that
reaction.
I mean, the zero you said, that's the reaction that you want. And two people walked out of the theater string we were in.
I walked out feeling like down.
Yeah.
It sucked energy out of me. It was not a happy movie at all, especially by the end. I mean, it took its toll, but I really liked it a lot.
There were just so many layers of it that you could analyze over. We could talk for 2 hours on this movie.
It just kept peeling away. I thought that was really good. Oh, you're turning. Dave thinks I'm.
He's
popping.
Always putzing around
too
dude.
Much. So that's
because I don't want our listeners to go. Yeah, it was great.
Except for the. Okay,
yeah.
So let.
Oh yeah.
Here you can talk about the whites finally. What would you say are your top five documentaries? Or, you know...
Oh, good, yeah.
You don't have to have five. You can be, you know, one, two, three, five. Up to five. What are your top five documentaries? Dave, go first.
Let's do one at a time, because you guys have stuff...
I don't have...
You guys may have stuff that I forget about.
Sure.
Wild and Wonderful Whites
order.
West Virginia.
Absolutely. I would agree with that.
You've seen it, too?
That's on my list as well.
Yeah, I thought it was great. And you said you want to watch a documentary that makes me feel good. And I was like, well, The Wild and Wonderful Whites of West Virginia does not make me feel good.
But damn,
unless,
is it fun.
Unless.
Yeah, it is fun.
Here's the thing. It makes you feel good because you aren't that fucking dumb.
It really is. It's like the
it makes you
Maury,
feel like a
Maury
smart.
Effect or the Springer effect. You're like, it's not me.
Yeah, exactly. I like Crumb. That's my favorite documentary of all time.
Okay, about Harry.
Never
Crumb.
Seen
Robert
that.
Robert Crumb. Yeah.
Never
oh,
seen
you
that.
Haven't? I haven't. No. I'll loan it
Who
to you.
Is
I have a Criterion. Robert Crumb. He's a
I was thinking the John Candy movie.
Oh, I see. And then I'll just list a few. Another one, Enter the Void. I don't know if you guys have seen that. But
which
it's
one's that?
They're the two explorers who, I can't remember what mountain they climbed, Everest or something, and they ended up, one of the guys ended up, they got caught in a snowstorm.
Oh,
didn't
he have to?
He had to cut him loose. He dropped, and he was suspended, and he dropped into a crevice in the ice, and it's this miraculous story, and it's reenacted, and it's better than any action film
I've
ever
wanted
seen.
To see that.
I own it, too. I'll loan it to you. But amazing film. And then
maybe we should watch that as one of the documentaries.
Sure, yeah, we should. Yeah.
Or videos one time.
And then Vernon, Florida was really good. I don't know if you guys have seen that.
I've read about that.
That's a lot like the other one you were talking about, where it's just freaks in Florida. It's only like an hour long.
The Wild and Wonderful Whites of West Virginia is about
Vernon,
a family.
Florida?
Yeah, yep.
A white trash family that the
they're hillbilly mafia.
Yeah, they were from West Virginia, as it says, and they're
tap dancers.
The guy was a mountain dancer. Their father was a mountain dancer, and there's like a whole slew of these people now who just live off the government and are crazy nut jobs, and everyone knows them, and they just follow them
the
around.
The dad that the
it's
cool
fun.
Thing is the dad that died set it up and figured out a way to make it so they get money.
They screwed the government perpetually.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh. It's been about a year since I've seen that. I didn't see it that long ago. It was about a year ago.
Okay, I just realized we talked about it but not said anything about what the movie was. Anyway, go ahead. So, Enter the Void.
What's the other? The Florida?
Vernon, Florida.
Vernon, Florida?
Yeah.
Is that on Netflix?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Oh, Barb will need to watch that.
Yeah, it's great. But it's kind of like the, what was the other one we were talking about?
Wild and Wonderful.
Wild and
Wonderful.
West
Virginia.
But it's like a bunch of different fans. It's a bunch of different stories.
Okay.
You know, a bunch of different like old people and just people in this town, Vernon, Florida. And just, it's like a freak show. It's great.
Mm-hmm.
It's not one of my favorites.
Brothers Keeper's great. That's on my top five. Probably.
Have you guys ever seen World Won't Miss Me or something like that? It's the documentary on Rocky Erickson.
No, the guy from Mask?
No.
Oh, no, the singer, sorry.
The singer, yeah.
I was thinking Rocky Dennis.
Actually, one of my favorite documentaries within the last year, because I haven't watched tons of documentaries.
It doesn't have to be from
Okay. But The Sound Studio. That documentary was awesome.
Which one?
That one with the soundboard. What does it say? What's it called?
Sound City.
Sound City, yeah. That was fantastic.
I've heard that's really good.
It's about the Sound City was a studio in California where the first album that Stevie Nicks and Lindsey Buckingham were on with Fleetwood Mac was recorded there, and then they got huge for a while. And then they were starting to decline, and then Nirvana recorded Nevermind there, and bam, they were huge. Rage Against the Machine recorded their first album there. All these bands. And it was partially because of that mixing board that they have.
Really?
So Dave Grohl ends up buying the mixing board when they close and recording a whole album with all these artists that have recorded there. And then he was like, well, who is the one artist that or band that got me into music? And that was the Beatles. So he gets Paul McCartney to come.
Wow.
And Foo Fighters are the backup band for
every band. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Cool. So, yeah, I want to see that. We should.
That was awesome. I have a copy of it, I believe. Yeah.
And then to top off my life, have you guys seen Dark Days?
No. Yeah, that about the people underground.
Yep, the underground people. Yep.
Yeah, that was
what?
Good. You want to explain it?
No, go ahead.
Oh, okay, so Dark Days is a black and white documentary. It came out probably about 15 years ago, maybe. Mm-hmm. I saw it in the theater with the director. Yeah, with the director. Black and white, but it was about these homeless people that lived in the underground subway. Was it Chicago?
I think so, yeah.
I think it was Chicago, but they had an underground closed-down subway under there, and they were living under there, and they had their own community.
What? Chud.
But they had shelters built, and these guys were just, you know, they had their own life down there, and they survived as a community, and they had shelters built, and then the government came in, or the city came in and said, we're clearing them all out, but they'd stay down there because it was safer down there than out on the streets because it was underground. And the government came in and said, you guys are all out. We're kicking you out. And there was this big uprising. So people stepped in and, like, found shelter for him. And it's amazing because the majority of the people who ended up coming out got apartments and actually had really good-paying jobs and apartments and bought their own houses. So these guys were just – they weren't, like, idiots. They were just really smart, but they just were down and out and didn't have the opportunities to get out. But once they gave them the opportunities, they found out – like, I'd say probably 9 out of 10 of them ended up being successful. Mm-hmm. It was incredible.
We on the way to the lagoon last night, we passed by this, you know, where Lindale and Dowling,
mm-hmm.
there's always somebody panhandling right there.
Yep.
This girl was probably, I would say, 25 at the most.
I always feel bad for her, though, when I see her. I don't know why.
25 at the
probably
most.
Because she's cute.
And
she is.
She
like
had clothes that looked like, I mean.
Well, they were clean. Like,
they were clean. Mm-hmm. And just like, you know, why doesn't she get a job, you know? I don't understand it. I mean,
if I see a homeless guy that doesn't have a beard, I don't give him money. I don't buy that bullshit. Where the fuck did you shave?
Worst thing that, you know, okay, if she is so hard up for money, she had a nice body, she could go do a stripping for a while. And I mean, what is worse? Panhandling or stripping? I mean, they're both degrading.
Yeah, but here's the thing. It's a mental thing. It's the homelessness isn't so much that they can't work. It's a mental thing that they have to get out of, and they get trapped, in this thing, and they can't get out. I mean, they can, but it's like if they're not given the opportunity. And some of them don't want to. Some of them just want to be there and want to live this
life. Well, also, years ago, a guy that I knew worked at Schindler's, he overheard two guys saying, oh, what'd you do? I cleared 300 today. And, you know, I'm just fuck that shit. I would rather have self-respect than $300 a day. I'd rather just make my measly pit.
Well, there was this homeless guy that came into the Rock, the church I used to go to. And he came in, and I always would try to find the people that were down and out and talk to him, whatever. And he's like, oh, his teeth were bad. He was there he was just getting food. You know, we'd have snacks and stuff after. So I gave him money, and so did my friend Jess. And I gave him my number because I was going to be the good guy and help him out.
Mm-mm.
You're like Jesus.
No, it was a big mistake. Trust me. Lesson learned. So he comes back the next week in brand new tennis shoes. It's like, dude, you took the money we gave you and you bought tennis shoes? So then I'm like, okay, he's like, well, I need food. So we bought him food. We bought him this bag full. I bought him two bags of groceries and we put it in this backpack. He finished it in like 3 days and then like lost the backpack and lost half the food. And then he was calling me like 15 times a day, like trying to get more money. It was horrible. And finally, I just snapped at him. I'm like, you stop calling me. And he got some cell phone that he had stolen from someone. I'm like, dude, don't come to the church anymore and don't call me anymore. So that's how I got.
You're a dumbass. What? You're a fucking dumbass.
No, I just thought I was trying to be a good guy. I
never
my lesson.
Give. I'm not a charitable person.
No. One of the documentaries I liked.
Yeah. Sorry.
It was Jiro Dreams of Sushi. Have you seen
that
one?
Yes,
that
was my number one movie last year. That's
you want,
that
was
great.
If you want amazing. An uplifting movie, like I walked away from this feeling like I can do anything. It's about
it
a guy who's been making sushi for maybe, 60, 70 years of his life. He's 89 years old now.
It is the best sushi in the world. I mean, people go there and it's booked for like how many, a year out maybe?
Yeah, it's like $600 a meal.
What the fuck?
You don't choose the food. He chooses every day.
He chooses everything.
He goes and picks perfect
I don't think
fish.
It's that much, but I think it was like $150, $200.
Yeah, he goes and picks fresh fish every morning. It's him and one of his sons and, you know, all his apprentices and everything. It's, what, 3-4 Michelin star rated or whatever it is? Like, the highest Michelin star you can get.
And he basically says I think he serves a lunch. For lunch, and I think there's 8 seats.
Yeah.
8 seats, or 16. So 8 on one side, 8 on the other.
Yes.
And they do a lunch, and they do a dinner.
And that's it.
Every day. That's it.
And this guy...
And he provides...
Does it every day of the year. He doesn't take breaks. He's always doing it. It's kind of funny, because you're like, this guy is so amazing. But then you start to get the hint that he ignored his whole family growing up. Like, his kids never really knew him. He has 2 kids.
Oh, man.
One of them was working for him and decided that he was going to go out on his own. And he was like, don't ever talk to me again. You're on your own. And, like, completely cut him off. And his reasoning was, well, you know, if I told him he could come back, if he would have a chance of failing, this way he can't fail.
I don't think his sons hated him, though.
No, his sons seemed to respect him. I mean, they seemed to not feel loved by him. You got that impression, but they definitely respected him, which was very Japanese to me.
Yeah, it is. That's how Japanese culture works. But it is an amazing... It was my number one movie last year.
What was the movie that we saw a preview with the painter?
Yeah, that looked good, too. Did
that
you see
looks
the
pretty
preview
good.
With the...
Oh, the Bully and the Babe or something?
Yeah, something like that. We should go see that when it comes out. That looked good, yeah.
Oh! I'll see it. But
that one looked good, though. Another documentary I want to see is...
How about ones you have seen? Let's not talk about ones you want to see.
Fuck. No, maybe I have.
He hasn't seen any. That's why he hated this one. So, he's seen 3, and he
hated
uplifted them.
This one,
and this
was
one...
awful.
Yeah.
Another one that was really good is I Think We're Alone Now. Have you seen that?
What was that again?
It's about an autistic guy and a hermaphrodite that both stalk Tiffany, the 80s pop star.
I did not see that.
What the fuck?
If you want a freak show, I mean, the whole movie, your mouth is just dropped open. Like, these people exist? It's so fucking amazing. The autistic guy is like most autistic people. He's just in his own world. He doesn't understand that what he's doing is upsetting her freaks her out in any way. He thinks he's her best friend. He does not understand that he's off. He even builds a contraption like Cerebro from the X-Men to telekinetically transmit his thoughts to her during the day, and he sits there for hours just doing it. And the hermaphrodite is fucked up. Holy god, I can't even explain, like, this crazy alcoholic drug addict monster that just thinks it's in love with Tiffany because it woke up from a coma and heard I Think We're Alone Now.
Wow. Well, here's the thing with documentaries, and then we should probably move on to the next movie, but the thing with documentaries is you really can't go wrong with them. I mean, I'll put a documentary on my Netflix if I'm having a bad run of movies where it's like, God, these are all 1-star, 2-star, maybe 3-star, and I'll throw a couple documentaries and it'll jump back up.
It's true.
Most of them are 4 or 5. Mm-hmm. I mean, documentaries you just can't go wrong with.
This is a 3-part thing. Everyone should see Paradise Lost about the
West
Memphis 3.
Oh.
Some of the best filmmaking ever.
Yep.
Holy shit.
There's 3 parts. Yep, those are the other ones. It's a trilogy now. And then the Memphis, what was the last one?
It just came out. What was it? West 3 or something?
Yeah, West something 3.
I've heard this is all new footage. I can't wait to see
it. Yeah, I can't either. Yeah, that's some great, 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 great
I mean,
stuff.
It's like 9 hours of movie, those Paradise Lost, but it's totally worth every minute of it.
Yeah. You know what I think is crazy about that whole story? Is the fact that they were like, hey, you know what? We're going to let you go because we don't think you're guilty. But you have to write down that you're guilty so you can't sue the state.
When you see this movie, you will see just how much bullshit all of that is. Yep. It'll make you sick to your stomach that any of this happened.
Yeah. No, I've seen enough of... I saw... God, it was like a 60 Minutes or something like that just went through all of it.
Yeah, I saw that one too.
And that was enough to make me just go, fuck that state. Yep. What state was it?
The sad thing, I can't remember.
Memphis.
Well, Tennessee? And the sad thing is, if they hadn't made these documentaries and it hadn't gotten attention from like a lot of rock stars and Johnny
Depp. Henry Rollins
and what's the Lord of the Rings guy? Peter Jackson and Fran Welsh really funded a lot of this. They dumped thousands and hundreds of thousands of dollars to their defense fund.
Yeah.
If it wasn't for that, these guys would still be locked up for the rest of their lives. And I think the one guy was on death row, wasn't he?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Okay, anyway.
Tennessee.
The other movie we
watched. Fuck you, humanity.
Was Warm Bodies.
Warm Bodies. I'm gonna give it like a 6.
You're not even going to talk about the movie. You're just going to rate it and be done.
No, I'm just.
This movie doesn't even deserve to be talked about.
You asked me to rate it. Like, oh no.
No, that
I
was
gave
the last
rating.
Movie. I didn't tell you. No. I just said we just watched Warm Bodies, and you're like, it's a six. I'm done with this one. Fuck it. Moving on.
I thought it was pretty good.
Well, I mean, explain what it's about. We keep going into like it was pretty good. You got to let people know who haven't seen it. We're trying to tell them about these movies.
And this one just came out this summer.
No, you weren't.
You were just like, yeah, it's pretty good.
It was pretty good for a zombie movie that was, it was a little different.
It was Romeo and Juliet with zombies.
Yes.
Or to me, it was Twilight with zombies.
Yeah, basically you got the one zombie who we get the voiceover like...
he's the narrator, right, the main character, R.
Yeah.
Right.
R, Romeo, and the girl he falls in love with, Julie.
Oh, I get it.
Really? You guys didn't notice that?
No.
Knowledge bomb.
Nerd bomb.
So smart.
Yeah, they really did a good job of masking that one.
Wow.
They're like, you guys got to think deep about what we're doing.
Wow.
I give it, go ahead. Keep talking.
I might give it more than that.
I gave it seven. I hate these kind of movies. I usually hate them. And especially there's so many, such a plethora of zombie films out there now. It's just like every other month another one's coming out and most of them suck. And this one I was expecting to be like Groan, whatever.
I thought it wasn't great, but
I thought it was pretty well written. I mean, the main character, the zombie, was sympathetic. He did a good acting. I liked it.
Jeff's still not telling him about this movie.
Okay,
though.
So it's about a zombie. R. He lives in the airport. He lives on an airplane. He's the only one who seems to have conscious thought. He can form words. He understands what's going on. He's our narrator. He
can kind of form words.
Yeah. He.
But it's narrated. It's narrated after the fact.
Yeah. And so he's living in this community of zombies. They're all kind of performing their routine over and over. They're stupid zombies.
There's people that have gone too far called bonies, which are kind of like
super
skeleton.
Yeah, they rip their
flesh
off and they're just like, yeah.
And so they're all hungry one day.
It's pretty funny.
They take a raid to the city, and while they're doing it, he runs into Julie. Well, when he eats Julie's boyfriend's brain, he gets some of his thoughts and falls in love with her because this guy was in love with her.
Yeah.
And so instead of eating her, he saves her and tells her, like, if you fake your way like a zombie, you can come
back
with me.
He, like, puts shit on her or whatever.
Yeah. And so she comes back with him, and he starts trying to win her over. Of course, she's terrified.
Well, he has his own airplane. Like, they live in an airport, and he has his own airplane that he's decked out. Now, he's, like, collects stuff. So he's got records and a record player. And this guy obviously has a little bit more going on with him. Yeah.
Right. So it kind of makes them...
Her dad,
not
however,
dead anymore.
John Malkovich, is the military leader who's out to kill all the zombies.
Because his wife had been killed by a zombie.
Anybody else just look at John Malkovich and think if one chromosome would have went the other way, that guy would be a fucking total Neanderthal? God damn. Oh, my God.
Malkovich.
Every time I look at him,
I love
he
Malkovich.
Was fucking awesome in the movie.
Yeah, he
Red.
Was. Yeah. Oh, no, that's right.
Have you seen Red?
No, I heard it's good, though.
Oh, everybody was awesome in that, but...
But yeah, so then he goes back to the military place and they dress him up as human. And then, of course, John Malkovich wants to kill him. And then he goes back, R goes back with all his zombie friends. And this is where the movie got too much for me. They realized that they could cure zombieism.
Yeah, that was
when
yeah.
they felt love. All the zombies see a picture of people kissing and they're like,
and holding hands.
Oh, holding hands, sorry. And my heart grows. And
they all turn to the Grinch.
Again.
Like, yeah.
That was too much for me. And so
well, the thing that was too much for me is that was too much. But then, what really went too much is now they're fighting the bonies. They're fighting the bonies, and the military comes over, and they're like, "These guys are on our side." And suddenly, they jump in. It's like, what? You don't even know what's going on. Also, all the military—they're fighting alongside of them with no explanation.
Alongside
nothing.
The normal zombies.
Yeah, normal zombies. Yeah, it was
because
just like too much.
They saw the zombies and the bonies fighting. And then the one dude is like,
yeah, but that doesn't mean the zombies still aren't evil and going to eat them too.
Shoot him, you know. Yeah, of course.
You got to spend a lot of
It's a fucking zombie.
Yeah, exactly. So that's why I was like, okay, I can let it go.
Right.
You just enjoy the ride.
She was easy on the eyes too.
She was very cute girl.
Except for, you know, she kind of reminded me of what's her name from Twilight. Like a blonde version.
I think
of
that's
her.
What they were going for.
I think
she had the sunken, dead,
yeah,
dark
blonde
eyes and everything.
You know?
She had that girl
although,
next door beauty. It wasn't
although,
like it was Hollywood stunning beauty.
Although the there is a zombie apocalypse. How much makeup are you going to put on in a zombie apocalypse?
Yeah.
Although I am somewhat attracted to what's her name from Twilight just because
Kristen Stewart?
Yeah, just because
she looks like she smells to me.
Well, so did the director of the Snow White movie, and they
Didn't they shtook?
Yeah, got caught. Yeah.
Oh, poor babies.
Poor
you know,
Robert Pattinson.
Yeah, oh no,
heartbroken.
Big surprise.
He didn't rebound. He did go back, but it never works when you go back.
Hollywood people cheating on each other. Oh. So yeah, I'm still giving it a 6.
Okay. I'm giving it a 7 because it was way better than I thought. I would actually probably own it. You know, I wouldn't pay full price, but if it was a 2 for $3 at, you know, Pan America, I'd pick it up. I thought, you know, it was like a good romance. It was a good romance movie, and I hate teen romance movies. I will not watch it twice. I liked it. I was touched.
Dylan actually owns most of the Twilight movies.
Really?
Oh, hell yeah, I do. They're awful. I can't get enough.
Really?
I like shitty movies. And two, I like romantic movies.
Oh.
I'm a sucker. But those are perfect. They're romantic and shitty, so I have to have them.
Okay, well, at least you have it for the right reasons and not the wrong reasons.
And I got them for $1.
You know why I liked watching the Twilight movies? Because I like fucking huge wolves and... When I watched the first one, I was like, this movie fucking sucks. But that dude is going to turn into a big wolf or a werewolf or something, and I want to see when that happens.
I'd give this movie a 5 or a 6. I mean, it didn't... It was better than I thought it would mm-hmm. be, but I don't know. At the same time, it was so fucking cheesy at the
end.
I know, but I just wanted to gag.
I don't know. I got caught up in it. How shameful.
Oh,
how shameful of me.
Shameful.
Well, they did end with the song by The National, so obviously that just pushed me right over to the 6 to 7 line. Okay. It was done.
Yeah.
I just saw The National last week, by the way.
He's
Roy
fucking
Wilkins,
singing
and it was amazing.
As it's going on, too.
I was singing, I'm like, that's The National.
They did have a lot of good music.
Yeah, they had really good music. Yeah,
yeah
they
that
did
I will
great
get it.
80s. That's what I'm saying. There weren't idiots behind the movie. There were some actually pretty smart guys behind it.
It was well made.
Yeah, it was well made. They had money behind it. And I think, too... The reason it got cheesy at the end is they had like, okay, this is a low budget. We got to get everything in, and we got 20 minutes to do it. You know,
well, really? Do you think it was low budget? I don't think it.
No, I
was...
think they put some money.
No, I mean there was money, but I'm just saying. But low budget it wasn't a big Hollywood blockbuster. I mean, they probably got 25 or 30 million as opposed to like 150,
right.
200 million. You
we
know,
can
and that's
find
that's
out.
Low budget in Hollywood.
Check on IMDb.
Find out how much that thing costs.
Because it gives you. How much they spent and how much it made.
No, there was definitely money in it. They got Malkovich. The computer effects were well done.
You can get Malkovich for pennies on the dollar. That
really?
Motherfucker's in everything.
Yeah, that's true. He's kind of like Christopher Walken.
Him
he says
Ben
no to
Foster,
nothing.
They'll just be in anything.
Well, Christopher Walken admits. He's like, if anything is, I do anything that's offered to me. That's what he says. I will do anything that is offered
That's
to
because
me.
He's an actor. That's the thing.
British guys are like that, too. They'll work. They just want to work. Here, it's like,
there's,
it's about my image.
Yeah.
There's a couple other actors who I've heard say that. I think it was... who... Not Donald Sutherland, but who... shut up. There's a movie called Harry Something where he's an ex-military guy and he's retired.
Oh, Harry Brown. That's
that
is Michael Caine.
Michael Caine. Yeah. I think Michael Caine has said
really?
That too. He said, "I'm
British.
Not. I'm not here to, you know, I'm here to work. I'm not here to be picky. If people want me to give me a job, I'll take a job." Which I like.
Yeah, I do too. I do like that.
You know who I fucking hate, and everybody loves him. And
Johnny Depp.
No. Daniel Day-Lewis. You know why I hate him? Because he's such a fucking pretentious. I'm a method actor. I'm a cobbler. When I only take one or two movies every 6 years. Well, fuck you, Daniel Day-Lewis.
Yeah, he's taken more now. I still think he is a great actor, but yeah, you're right.
He's
kind
really
of a snob.
Yeah. It cost about $35 million to make.
Really? How
much
did it make?
That's about what I thought.
Did it say?
It probably made his money back.
No, it didn't say. I'll look.
Yeah, look, you can find that out. I'm sure internationally it made its money back, probably a little more. It probably did maybe 50, 60 with the overseas market.
They probably paid like at least $10 million in the CGI for those.
Oh,
owners.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
Which
yeah.
I thought those were really cool looking.
Yeah, so. they were. I mean, yeah. it was a well put together movie. Fun story. Not high art. This isn't something you're going to put on your shelf. But it's,
I needed
but
that.
But for romance, I did too. I kind of needed it after that. After you know,
right. I needed to watch something I
Even
enjoyed.
Though you had a 0 and I had an 8 or 9. It, you
right.
Know,
Worldwide, 116 million, almost 117
million. Wow, good.
So it tripled its money, practically.
Yep.
Or more.
And I think this is a Hollywood going to be the new thing where they're talking now. They're going to do lower budget and hope for the world.
I bet you it's going to be a lot more crowdfunding. Like people are going to, the studios see that people are willing to pay for the movies for them already. And then we're getting movies that we want made with less hands in it. So
I think it's a good thing.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no reason Lone Ranger should cost $250 million.
There's no reason Lone Ranger should have been made.
I like Lone Ranger.
No one gives a shit about that.
No, no one gives a shit. I want to see it. No one's good. I thought it was good.
Speaking about
6 out of 10.
About what we low budget. I also when we rented Warm Bodies yesterday, I also rented Safety Not Guaranteed. So I'm gonna be watching
that
tomorrow.
Great film. That? Save the time travel one.
Oh yeah. Dur.
That's in my top 10. That's my top 5 of last year.
Oh really?
I love Safety Not Guaranteed.
I liked it. It was good.
Well. If we don't get to a DVD movie next time, we can use that one.
A Serbian film.
We will. Yeah. Oh no. See. Oh, he tried. We couldn't do it this time because you had to feel good.
You want to talk about a stain on your soul? You're gonna never get that one out.
No, that's.
Is it at least less than 2 hours?
Yeah, I think it's like an hour and a half.
Okay, good.
I think.
But that won't make it any less traumatic for you.
What are you watching, like television or series wise?
I just got done. We were talking about it on Facebook. Breaking Bad. I finished up.
Oh, okay. I didn't see the new one yesterday.
I didn't either because we were at the movies.
I heard it was awesome.
I'm sure. It was.
I don't watch it.
I mean, it is. Yeah, the new season started out a little slow, but then it's just like
last moment, it was like, fuck.
I know, dude. It's
are you talking about the ringing of the bell?
No, that was last season. Oh, this is a new season. See, where they're splitting it up. They're doing 8 episodes and 8 episodes.
Oh, okay.
This show is the greatest show. I think it will go down as the greatest show ever made. Because consistently they did 5 seasons, that there's not a bad episode. There's not a bad. It's perfect in every way. Vince Gilligan is a genius. Of course, he wrote probably some of the best X-Files. That's how he got his start and his fame. So it only makes sense that it's a great show. But it is literally, they can't go wrong. And what I've heard from the reviews of these next
even
these
over
last
Twin
eight,
Peaks.
Well, Twin Peaks was only good for one season, and then about the last 4 episodes of the last one. So if I'd say it ranks right up there with the first season of Twin Peaks.
Right, okay.
I'd put it on there. I mean, but you got five seasons of perfection in every way, shape, and form, and it's just. And I guess the last 8 episodes, they said, are going to be it's like a ride through hell, is how Bryan Cranston describes
it. Awesome.
Yeah.
I'm the only person in America or in the world who just has no interest in watching that show.
That's because everyone likes it, and that's how you do.
I also like the one quote, this show would have never been made in England because we would have just paid for his health care, and he wouldn't have had to sell meth.
It wasn't his health care. He was worried about his family.
Right.
His family wouldn't have been taken care of. His wife needed that money to take care of their crippled son and the baby that was on the way. He wasn't worried about himself. It was taking care of
him. Because they would have
paid. But he would have had bills. They would have had bills.
Would have had bills after that.
Right, but they would have paid, and he would have not known he was going to die or whatever. Sure. You know,
that's a great show.
Okay, what are you watching besides?
I just finished Todd and the Book of Pure Evil.
What's that?
I haven't heard of that. What is that?
It's a Canadian show. It's about this stoner metalhead kid who finds like a really Necronomicon at his high school, and it grants you your deepest desire, but it's always a monkey paw wish. And so he gets it the first time, and then after that, him and this group of friends are trying to hunt down the book to capture it, and so it stops harassing the kids in the school and causing evil to happen. And then at the same time, their guidance counselor is part of a satanic cult that wants the book to take over the world.
Wow.
It's hilarious.
I've heard great things about it.
It's super cheesy. It's like every 80s horror comedy. It's super fun.
Can you buy
it
somewhere?
I don't know. It's on Netflix right now.
What's it called again?
Todd and the Book of Pure
Evil.
Okay,
good. I'll remember that. Send me a link to it just so I don't forget.
What?
How many episodes?
It's 2 seasons. I think they're 13 episodes each.
Okay.
I read Rue Morgue every month because I'm a big horror guy, and that was one that they kind of were. I mean, they have like certain movies every year that they'll like.
It's got awesome music, all heavy metal shit. Good stuff.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
I'm watching The League. I'm on season 3 again because Barb hasn't seen it. So.
Yeah, you showed me that one episode. I like that show. That's very funny. The episode you showed me, you got me interested.
We did finish Hatfield and McCoy's. That was pretty good. Mm-hmm. You have to figure it's like somewhat historical. So
sure.
they can't make a ending cooler, you know. With
I'm bringing over Breaking Bad. Jim Nelson has season one.
Well, aren't they on Netflix?
Yeah, you can Netflix them too.
Oh, okay.
I just have the first four seasons on DVD. Oh. So if you want them, or if you don't want a Netflix, but if you just want a Netflix,
well, we'll see.
Once you have the DVD, you have a little more commitment than, like, I'm going to Netflix it on top of my list of, like, 500 other movies. That, yeah, my right. queue of 500 movies.
See, that I, she has her queue, and there's things in there that we watch. Uh-huh. And, like, with The League, I'm just like, next, you know?
Yep.
And until that's all done, and then I won't, like, because I want to start the Doctor Who stuff over again.
Ugh.
Well, here's.
Yes,
which is funny.
The actor going, which is funny.
Did you guys actually watch any of it though?
I've seen little bits. I saw the.
What was the one with when it was rebooted with what's his name?
Christopher Eccleston.
Yeah, that it was good. It's just nothing that I'm just not my thing. Right. But I thought that was good. But I've seen some of the other ones after.
My favorite
thing.
Yeah,
I can see why they like it. It's too gay for me. I don't mean gay in the homosexual sense. I mean gay in like la la la. It's the British kind of thing. I don't really.
Well, here's the thing that because I got kind of a bad taste in my mouth from the last person I was dating. Because it oh my God, the best quote kind of sums up what I felt about her like for Doctor Who. Thank God we have this new doctor. Now that Matt Smith's out, then all the bandwagon girls who love Matt Smith and have creepy sexual fantasies about him can go the fuck away.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I just if you want to talk Doctor Who, we'll get Charles in here as a guest, and probably not because he'll talk the whole time. But I
won't come that week. That's
yes,
awful
I won't either. Yeah, you and Charles can have a podcast.
Oh my God, no, I could never have a podcast with him. Speaking of gay,
happy gay.
Yeah, he. Wow. Yeah.
So podcast over.
Podcast. Yeah, it was a good podcast, guys.